Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're reading this morning from Acts 3, 1 to 10, and it reads, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this brand new day. We thank you that your word tells us that your mercies are new every morning. And so today, Father God, we set our eyes and our focus on you, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit in this place, Father. And we pray, Father God, that your word that goes forth this morning, that it will be one that will accomplish that which you have purposed for it, Father God. Thank you for every person that is in this place. Thank you for every person that is online tuning in today, Lord God. And we thank you for what you are going to do in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name, amen. Good morning, family. Wow. So good to be here. Yes, my name is Henry, and man, it's such a great privilege to be with our central family this morning. Yes, central family. It's a bit earlier than our normal one in Logan, but I praise the Lord. So, yes, this morning I have the privilege of concluding our You Ask For It series. With a topic that was the third most voted topic by you. And the topic was around a couple of themes: the power of the Holy Spirit, miracles, signs, healings, and wonders. So the title of my message today is Powered Up. Everybody say Powered Up. So today we'll look at how God, the Holy Spirit, demonstrated himself in the early church. We'll spend most of our time in the book of Acts, as we'll look at the birth of the early church and where the power of the Holy Spirit was made manifest in an amazing and spectacular way. Then we will look at one example of a miracle in Acts chapter 3. So, who is the Holy Spirit? I like how Wayne Grudem puts it. He's a theologian, and he says this: God eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each person is fully God, and there is one God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is God that lives in us, that inspires us and empowers us, right? The Holy Spirit is God that lives in you and in me. He empowers us, and he motivates you and me, and he inspires you and me every single day of our lives. The God who created heaven and earth comes down and enters into you and me, and he lives in us. That's pretty cool, right? Now, I'm just going to give you a bit of a backdrop in Acts chapter 1 and 2 before we settle into our main text that was beautifully read by Sam here. And so the book of Acts is written by Luke, and this is the same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so a couple of things that we know about Luke is that he was a Gentile, he was a physician, and he was also very close friends with Paul the Apostle. And so the scene in chapter 1 is set with the author reminding the readers of the promise of the Father that was made by Jesus. in verses 4 to 5, it says this, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait." Everybody say, wait. "For the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.'" And this is Jesus. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then we see Jesus give his final words to his disciples in verse 8. And it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." It's the Holy Spirit who enables us and empowers us to go and do what God is calling us to do, right? So when the Holy Spirit is within us, then we should go to our families, right? We should go to our workplaces. We should go to our schools. We should go to our communities, right? We should go to those places that God is calling us to go to and be his witnesses in, right? If we try and go it alone, without the power of the Holy Spirit or the leading of the Holy Spirit, then we can be dangerously positioning ourselves to hurt ourselves, or even worse, hurt others. After Jesus has given this final command, he then ascends into heaven, into the skies. Then in chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit manifest in an amazing way on the day of Pentecost. Did you know that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday? And today we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, only God can do that timing. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit that day was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. Then these tongues of fire appeared and settled on their heads, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit allowed them to speak in different tongues, in different languages. And they weren't just babbling words. They were declaring the goodness of God in these different languages. And crowds of people that heard the mighty roaring noise, that roaring sound, they came. And they were all people from different nationalities and different languages. And when they got there, they saw these Galileans that were speaking their language. And they heard them declaring the power and the greatness of God in their own personal language. This was the early church reaching the nations. This is what being on mission looks like. But I also want to highlight something in verse 1 of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Everyone say, all together. They were all together. They were all gathered together in one place, in one geographical location, sharing the same heart. They were sharing in the same trust and the promise that Jesus made that he would ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. They were all in unity in that one place. They were all waiting. This is important. Before we can be filled, we must recognize that we're empty. Before we can be filled, we must recognize that we're empty. You know, the disciples, by gathering together, by waiting together, by praying together, by encouraging each other, waiting, they showed and they understood that they were empty. They showed and understood that they got it, that, man, I can't do this on my own. I don't have anything in me myself to do this, what God is calling me, what Jesus is calling me to do. I have to wait and wait for this promise that Jesus has said. They recognized that they needed someone else. They had to rely on and trust in the word of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would come and fill them up. Everybody say, fill them up. Have you been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? How many of us would fight to gather together in one location with a unified desire? I know it can be a fight to get to church sometimes, right? It can be a fight to get to a life group sometimes. But how many of us would fight for that? Would prioritize getting here, turning up? You know, the biggest part of trying to fight to get together is to turn up, getting that first foot out of your bed, getting into your car, or getting onto the bus, whatever way you want to get here, and get here. You know, this is something that we encourage a lot in our Silverbacks crew. Man, turn up. Turn up. If you have health goals, turn up. If you want to be an example of good health to your family, turn up. Nudge the person next to you and say, I'm glad you turned up. Think about this. The disciples didn't know when the promise would be fulfilled, right? All they knew was that Jesus said to wait. Wait here for the promise to be fulfilled. Day one comes and goes. Day two comes and goes. Day three comes and goes. Day four comes and goes. Day five, day six. Me personally, if we're getting to day seven, I'm like, I need to ask a question. When is this promise coming? And this is where the beauty of gathering together comes into play. Because if I'm around other believers, they're going to encourage me, right? They're going to correct me. They're going to remind me of the promises of Jesus that he has already fulfilled. And they're going to remind me that Jesus is true to his word, right? This is the beauty and importance of gathering together with other believers. The Spirit of God that resides in them will encourage you in those moments. And then in times when others are discouraged, then it's the Spirit of God that resides in you, that resides in us, that will be used to encourage them. That's how the family of God works. That's how community should work, in sharing and caring and the love of God that gets poured out into each other when we gather together. Everybody say together. As a gathering of believers, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Right? There's grace, there's life, and there's holiness. That is part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us and in everyone around us. That's what he wants to do. So we're encouraged to be intimately sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because one minute, we may be on the receiving end of ministry by someone else in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? And in the next minute, we could be the very ones that the Holy Spirit is wanting to tap into and ask to minister to someone else now. Are you ready to live like that? Do you want to live like that? God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. That's what it means to be intimately sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Everybody say, stir up. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. When we are together, we get to speak life to each other. We get to stir each other up to go deeper in our relationship with God. We get to cheer each other on, because that is what happens in our spiritual family. It should naturally cultivate this environment of faith, hope, and love. And this is how the early church started out. And this is how we reach the nations, through the power of the Holy Spirit and displaying the love of Christ to our community. Man, that video that we watched at the beginning, right, that was happening in Nashville and New York, man, that's my message right there. Praying, inviting the Holy Spirit to move, not the way that we want, but the way that he wants. Now I want to jump over to Acts 3, because here we get to see a powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit through two of the apostles in an everyday situation. In verse 2 of chapter 3, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And so we have Peter and John here, and they're going to the temple to pray. And they come across this man that has been lame from birth, since birth. Every day he's carried to the temple gate, to this gate called the Beautiful Gate. He's carried there and placed there. And then from there he asks people for alms as they are entering the temple. This is a pretty good place to be at, right? At the entrance of the temple. Because there's lots of foot traffic, right? Heaps of people are going to be coming forward and backwards there. And there was and there is a very strong tradition of almsgiving, where they're giving to the poor, where they're especially beggars in Judaism. And by doing that, it was an act of righteousness. And so many people would give alms because it was a reason for them to become righteous, to feel righteous. And so the lame man is pretty strategic with where he's being placed daily to get the most impact, to get the most engagement, to get the most views. In verses 3 to 4, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." So the lame man here, he sees Peter and John, and he asks them for something. And Peter and John turn their attention to him. They look at him, and they make direct eye contact with him. I don't know if this has happened to you before, but there have been times that I've gone to the mall, you know, the shopping mall around here, and you know when you walk into the shopping mall and they have those pop-up stores, right? And usually there are these like specific stores that are at the entrance of those shopping malls, right? And so, you know, like they're trying to get your attention. And I've heard some beauties in my time. So like I'm walking along and someone say, "Hey, nice shoes, bro. You got a minute?" Or, "I like your shirt, man. That is a cool shirt. Can I show you something?" Now be honest, okay? Have you ever made direct eye contact with those people? No, of course not, right? Of course not. You just smile and keep on walking and say, "No, thank you," because that's what I do. Yes. But Peter and John, they stopped and make direct eye contact with him. Think about this. How many people have come into your life and tried to ask you for something? They've stopped you and asked you for something, and for whatever reason, you just smile and walk by and say, "No, thank you." Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone in here, but I want you to know, and I want us to know, to be awakened to this fact that the Holy Spirit may have led you to that place, to that moment in time, to give something to that person, to be a miracle to them, to be the one that prays for them, to be the one that speaks the right word in that right moment. Because we have obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit and stopped and made direct eye contact with them. But because I was so busy, or because I was just trying to get to my next appointment, or because I was just trying to get away from them, I missed it. But Peter and John, they stopped and made direct eye contact with him. At my job, our organization, we just finished our fundraising event just on Friday. And usually I'm at my desk just doing my thing from my desk. But during our fundraiser event, they encourage all our staff to be on the phones answering calls from all our supporters and all our listeners. And so this week, I answered a call from this lovely lady in Redcliffe. And once I had finished taking all her details, I just felt led to ask her if she needed anything. You know, was there anything I could pray for? And she said, "Yes, please." And so I just prayed. I asked God, can you please fill her with your wisdom and your knowledge that she will be able to reach the people that you place in her path, Father God? Later on in that afternoon, one of our other staff members comes up to me and said, "Hey, I just finished speaking to this lovely lady from Redcliffe. And she said she had been speaking to you. And she said to her that the prayer that I prayed was so on point that it felt like that someone was speaking to her heart directly and telling her exactly what God was wanting, what she needed to hear right there in that moment. And she was in tears on the phone. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for prompting me." When was the last time you made direct eye contact with somebody? When we look through a lens of opportunity rather than a lens of obstacles, we will begin to see what the Holy Spirit already knows. When we look through a lens of opportunity rather than a lens of obstacles, we will begin to see what the Holy Spirit already knows. The Holy Spirit is wanting to do a work in people's lives. He's wanting to breathe the breath of life, the breath of God into people's lives. We need to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit is with us. He's with us. We need to be awake and aware that He is wanting to do these great and mighty things in the hearts of the people everywhere around us. So Peter and John, they stopped and made direct eye contact with Him. And Peter says, "Look at us." So the lame man is probably thinking, yes, when he hears those words from Peter, look at us. And he's probably thinking, yes, he's going to give me something. I'm going to get something. But Peter's response to him is probably not what he was expecting, right? In verse 6, Peter says this, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I was wondering if there may have been some or a bit of hesitancy on the lame man's part on hearing this, because he's expecting to receive something physical. He's expecting to receive something tangible. He's expecting to receive gold and silver, but instead, he's given something verbal. He's given a bunch of words. Even though he probably didn't fully understand it, what was about to happen, the fact of the matter was there was something great that was about to happen, right? So maybe he didn't know how to respond to this. Maybe he was still trying to process all these words in his head, right? You mean you came to the temple and you didn't bring any gold or silver with you? Why you come here then? What do you mean you can give me something that you have? I need gold. I need silver. Who's this Jesus of Nazareth you're talking about? What do you mean walk? What do you mean rise up? Man, can't you see me? Can't you see my situation? I think that's how he was thinking when he heard those words from Peter. I think this highlights a key area of thought for some people as well. Here's a man that has been like this way all his life. Maybe he has never considered healing as a possible option. Maybe he's never considered being healed as something that could happen to him, because he has just grown to rely on getting support for his disability. Instead of being healed from it, all he's known is just, give me, give me, give me. That can be a lot like people today, right? They think they know what they need, yet all that they really do need is the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They need a deep ministry work of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural healing, a spiritual awakening in their own life. People that are supporting themselves with alms can look like money, can look like a career, can look like material things, can look like a healthy, unhealthy relationship, can look like a habit, a mindset, a behavior. These things that they lean on and rely on, but they never consider being healed from it. They never thought that they could be released from it. Then Peter takes the man by his hand and helps him up. When was the last time you helped someone up? When was the last time that you helped someone up? Now, there's a major difference between getting a hand up rather than being given a hand out, right? Let me tell you this. A hand out says, give me something to help me continue in my current way of life. A hand up says, we are going to walk through this new way of life together. You see the difference? A hand out is just supporting their current life. There's no change that's going to happen. There's no transformation in their life. You're just helping them in their current state of life. But a hand up, giving someone a hand up, is going to lead them to a life of change, a different, brand new, life-giving, life-transforming life. Who can you give a hand up to today? Maybe God's showing you names or faces of someone, of people that you need to give a hand up today. The healing that this man received that day awakened his spirit to the name that is above every other name. The name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is always the objective. Healings and miracles are the manifestations. When Peter commanded the lame man to rise up and walk, it was in the name and in the authority of Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that this man was able to rise up and walk. The Holy Spirit that led Peter to speak those words in faith and authority and then activated his faith by helping this man up. This is an example of how we too can be activated in our own faith today, right? When we are in tune with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is always the objective. Healings and miracles are the manifestations. When was the last time you were activated in your faith by helping someone up? So we're coming to the end now, and I want to just highlight a couple of things for us for today, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He lives in us. We carry him everywhere we go. He empowers us. He inspires us. He fills us up. He is the one who prompts us every single day of our lives. Then there's our role, our part in this. We must recognize that we're empty, that we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit in us. We must fight to gather together, prioritizing the meeting together like this, the gathering together like this, man. This is what we need to fight for, to get here, to get there. Be aware and awake when the Holy Spirit prompts. Activate our faith by helping someone up. So how we interact and relate with the person of the Holy Spirit will determine a big part of the direction of our life. We may say that we live for Jesus and we're doing the will of God, but who is the real true source of our strength? Who is it that really empowers us? Who is it that really guides us? Is it really the person of the Holy Spirit? Or is it just us and our desires? Is it just us and our strength? Is it just us and our priorities? Is it just us and our agenda? When the person of the Holy Spirit is doing all these things in us, it's a pretty amazing life that we get to live. He is the true source and the standard by which our lives, we need to live out our lives, right? Our lives become this miraculous healing testimony of God's goodness and grace when the Holy Spirit is operating in us. Amen? So why don't we live like that every day? Why don't we walk like that every day? The Holy Spirit is who God has given us, is who God has provided for us to be able to walk through victoriously in this life. God's not a formula that we're trying to put together ourselves. He's not a checklist that we're just working through to try to tick all the boxes. He is a relationship that we need to grow towards and draw towards him through the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Miracles and healings, they still happen today as the Spirit enables and whoever the Spirit chooses. If we are a vessel that is surrounded and filled up with and obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're creating an environment where miracles and healings can happen as the Spirit leads. We don't need to manufacture it ourselves. It begins in our own heart. It begins in our own lives. The person of the Holy Spirit lives within us. Do you want to live this way every day? Being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, being led and guided by him? That's our discussion question that we're going to go into right now. Do you want to live this way, in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, I'm just going to give you 2 minutes to do that. Have a chat with the person behind you, in front of you, next to you. Or if you just want to, you know, meditate on it and just reflect in your own life, that's cool too. But I'm giving you 2 minutes to do that. Is that all right? It's all right. You know, I'm sensing that, you know, we're going to have a time of activation today. You know, we can't just hear about the power of the Holy Spirit and walk away from here and not actually experience him. And I'm really believing that we're going to have a time of experiencing the Holy Spirit right here, right now, this morning. And so I hope this morning that the Word of God has spoken to you, that God's highlighted something in your life, whether it's a particular situation or whether it's the actual relationship with him alone. Can I let you know that God doesn't want you to walk out those doors the same way that you walked in? He wants to do a work on your heart. And yeah, you may be standing there thinking, oh, Nah, I'm all good. I'm all good. But there can be areas in our heart that we don't like to acknowledge. We don't like to talk about. But God is prompting you this morning, hey, this area in your life, this attitude in your life, this behavior in your life, this mindset, I want to deal with this right now, right here. God wants to use us in a mighty, amazing way. But he also wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to reconcile us back to him. And the process is not just a one day, I'm healed. Yes, I'm perfect. No, it's an ongoing process that we go through in this life of ours. So I'm really believing this morning that God wants to do some amazing things. There's going to be some healing. There's going to be some restoration. There's going to be some reminding. Maybe there's some dreams that you've had in the past. God's reminded you of those dreams this morning. So I just want to spend some time in prayer as we lead into our time of ministry this morning. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord God. Father, I thank you for every person that is here this morning and every person that is watching online, Lord God. Father, you are the one who is speaking to their hearts right now. You are the one who is showing showing us things in our hearts, Lord God, things that we haven't fully surrendered to you, things in our lives, Father God, whether it's a mindset, an attitude, or a behavior, Lord God. Father, you are wanting to heal us. You are wanting to restore us, Lord God. You are wanting to empower us with the power of your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord God. And so, Father, where every person at is this morning, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would have your way in our hearts. You would have your way in every person here right now, Lord God. That you would continue to show yourself, Lord God. That you would display your miraculous power in every person's life, Father God. In our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, Lord God. That you would have your way, Lord God. Father, we don't want to walk out of here today the same way that we walked in as Lord God. We want to go out as a new creation, a new person, aligned to you, set on you and your face, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in our hearts this morning. Lord God, we want to honor you. We want to thank you for your love, your great and wonderful love for each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty, wonderful name.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.